Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you for giving me this privilege, and particularly thank you to Rick, because this has prompted a re-examination of my own relationship with God. I think it's something which we all need to do constantly, don't we? That's one of the reasons why it was chosen for this Lent course. I was, I think, about 17 years old when I first preached my sermon in my home church. It was after the sermon and a few days later that an old lady in the church, a godly lady, who met my mother on the street, and they inevitably began discussing my sermon. The lady said to my mother, when he first stood up, I was praying that God would give him something to say for 10 minutes. She said, after 40 minutes, I was praying that God would give him something to say. So, David, I give you the permission to, you needn't pray, just tell me. I begin with a disclaimer too, I think, because I think I have to admit I'm no expert here. It's true, I admit, that I spent a large part of my working life as a professional Christian, probably more than any other person here today. But it has its own dangers. Very easily, of course, we perform before other Christians, rather than neglect our own walk with Jesus. And I suspect that Rick and Jim and David, Lewis and Paul and any other ordained person here tonight might agree with that, that it can so easily, words and ritual can so easily be empty and all too familiar. In case you'd assumed otherwise, ordination brings no automatic piety. Some of the most harsh words that Jesus said were directed to professional Christian, professional religious leaders. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, go into your room, close the door, and pray to God. And sure, he wasn't in any way saying that prayer meetings are not allowed, but he was reminding us that it is to God that the whole of our religious life is directed. What kind of God is it that has to have his ego boosted by having people say that they need his help, and constantly having them to sing his praise and hear him tell how great and how good he is? Those are the words of a cynic. And I wonder, if you heard them and someone brought those words to you, how would you respond? Moment of thought there. But do we prompt that ridicule by the way that we speak of him and live our lives? Is that the impression that we give by our service and the way we refer to prayer? Yes, it's true, of course, that our relationship should always be one of reverence and acknowledgement of a need of forgiveness, thankfulness, and dependence on his provision. But Jesus spoke to his disciples as friends. My friends, he called them. And I would endorse what Bishop Sophie said last week when she spoke of that need for us to develop that relationship on a friendly, on a friendship basis. One of the books which was on in the on the sheet last week was the book James Houston, the author, and it is the title, Transforming Friendship, A Guide to Prayer. I didn't have a copy and discovered that it's out of print now, but there are copies available on the internet, and I'm looking forward to reading it. God, through Isaiah, spoke of Abraham as his friend. And it was that God trusted Abraham, both in order to sacrifice his order to sacrifice Isaac, and then listen and respond at the last moment to reverse that order. He could have been fanatic and could have held on to the first order. There was that intimate relationship there. They trusted each other right down to the very last moment. And even at the very beginning of Genesis chapter 3, there are hints of a daily tryst between God and Adam and Eve. So we're talking about a relationship which is more than just a set of ritual reading from the Bible or prayer time. I think my emphasis this evening would be God in our everyday experiences, whatever life holds for us. Whatever we do in practicing a daily walk with Christ, essentially, we're following the disciples, those first disciples, and I envy their privileged condition and the situation that they had 3 years of close daily association with Jesus. He invited them into his own life. He shared life with them, and right through the whole of experience of his life, he was able to give that very real sense of who God was and how our relationship can be one of trust and friendship. As a human being, he portrayed himself as human, but amazingly, someone who was very close and intimate in his relationship with his father. They saw him tired, needing rest, hungry, disappointed, deeply affected by human needs and his response to those needs. They listened to his teaching.